Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
Are you someone who has a lot of difficulty paying attention when people are talking to you or when you've got things you need to concentrate on, but they're not that interesting? Or are you somebody who frequently loses your keys or your phone or things like that, and you're running around frantically trying to find them before you have to leave the house for something? Or do people accuse you of constantly interrupting them or not listening when they're talking? Well, you might be somebody who has adult ADHD. We will talk about that, how you'll know and what some of the subtypes are and why it can look different person to person and different from when you were a child maybe and you had these symptoms than it does in adulthood. And we'll talk about how I, a person who would meet criteria for adult ADHD, manage my life and my focus better with 11 pretty simple strategies, and why it's okay not to be perfect at any of them. So if this sounds interesting to you, stay tuned. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Unpacking Possibility. I'm your host, Tracy Stein, and as always, I'm so happy to be here with you. So today we're going to talk about a topic that I know has been getting a lot more traction lately. We've talked about it before on this podcast when Dr. Ryan Sultan, a New York City psychiatrist who specializes in treating ADHD, when he's come on the podcast. But I think the topic is getting renewed attention because so many of us have so many things that make it even harder to pay attention nowadays. So if you're somebody who has struggled with that or struggle to not feel restless, I think this will be a useful episode for you. And relatedly, I think it will be helpful if you have a child, a partner, a sibling, a parent even, who has maybe struggled with attentional issues for a long time and maybe does not have a diagnosis. But it might be something worth just kind of thinking about. Okay, is there another way to frame this? Is there another way to take a look at this? And even if you don't meet criteria or you don't get assessed by somebody or you're not ready to do that, the tips that I'll share are ones that can really help anyone get more done and kind of just feel better about when we don't do things perfectly. So what I want to do in this episode is not only share the tips for doing better, but just again, provide an overview of what it means when people say, oh, I've got ADD, I've got ADHD. A lot of people say that and may or may not meet criteria. So it's important to know that ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, isn't actually a one-size-fits-all type of issue. It's actually considered the most common neurodevelopmental disorder of childhood. And it's estimated that over 15 million American adults meet criteria. Now, you cannot diagnose somebody just by saying, oh, you know, so-and-so is never on time, or they always look distracted when I'm trying to tell them something, whether it's your kid or your partner or whatever. You really do need to be evaluated by a professional. You'll find questionnaires online that can help you get a sense of, oh, okay, this is starting to look like a kind of a consistent picture. But you really do need to see someone. There's no brain scan that's going to tell you if you would meet criteria for ADHD. It's also important to realize that, like most things, there's a spectrum of where, you know, people fall in terms of their severity. The severity really is determined by to what extent the challenges that you have that fit kind of in this larger basket, this ADHD basket, affect your ability to function in daily life, you know, at home, at school, at work, and so forth. So you may or may not have heard that typically ADHD falls into a few different kind of subtypes. So the predominantly inattentive type, and that's probably where I fall, where, you know, I've really had to work hard to corral my attention and focus. And some days that's easier than others, whether that's getting through and reading a book or a research article or something, especially if it's less engaging. It's probably easier to get through one of those novels that you're going to pick up in the airport and read start to finish on the plane versus some kind of long and dry paper, maybe for work or whatever, right? Predominantly hyperactive ADHD, and you'll know this is you if you feel yourself feeling pretty restless or keyed up or wound up, where it's hard to sit still. You can't sit for long times. Maybe you impulsively interrupt people frequently, and you may have gotten that feedback. And look, all of us, by the way, have had symptoms that have cropped up from time to time of probably a whole lot of disorders. It doesn't mean that if you do something sometimes that now you're in this basket. But what it does mean, if it's pretty consistent or pretty frequent, or you're finding it's interfering with your relationships or your work and so forth, then again, it's worth checking out. And then the other type is the combined type ADHD. I'm just going to read a few of the criteria, or a few of the way these things kind of manifest in daily life for each one. But again, if you think you would like to know more, you should really go see a licensed mental health professional who can get to know you and help you determine, and who can get to know you and you can unpack together whether that's something you might benefit from some help with. So the predominantly inattentive presentation of ADHD, you would have five or more of these symptoms in this category. I'm only going to read a few, but they have to have persisted for at least 6 months if you're an adult, really starting before the age of 12, but like lacking attention to detail. So making careless mistakes at school or work or in other activities where you really need to be a little more consistently on point. Difficulty focusing. So you might struggle to pay attention in meetings, especially if they're long, or during lectures or lengthy reading sessions, or trouble listening. People might say, it always seems like you're not listening to me. Or you find that your mind's wandering when it really needs to be focused in the present. Failing to complete tasks, right? And you'll know that that's true. And that can be everything from household chores, right? You said you were going to do something to your partner or to your parent or to your kid or whatever, and you forget to do it consistently. Or you get easily sidetracked. Or, you know, you really might have great intentions of doing something and it gets half done. But just generally forgetting, you might even forget to pay your bills every month because maybe you have different bills that are due on different days. And it's not that you're forgetting once in a blue moon, you're forgetting more often, things like that. So the predominantly hyperactive or impulsive type is more of like what it sounds. So this, you might think of as happening mostly to kids, but it happens to adults as well. Somebody who like leaves their seat when it's expected that you'd remain seated, like somebody who can't get through a meeting or a lecture, or somebody who can't get through, they've decided to attend a concert or something like a classical music concert where it's really more obvious if you get up. I'm not talking about something where you can be up and dancing and they can't sustain that kind of calm, you know, kind of pretty motionless posture for very long. You'll find that if you have the hyperactive impulsive presentation, you might blurt out answers to something someone's about to ask you before they finish their sentences. And again, I don't mean once in a while. I mean as a rule, or more often than most other people in your sphere might be doing. Interrupting other people a lot, or popping in while they're trying to do something that requires focus and kind of just leaping before you look, that kind of thing. You're fidgety. So maybe you're a hand snapper or fiddling with your fingers or picking your cuticles or tapping your feet or a lot. Somebody who's like talking and doesn't let other people have their turn. Like your conversations aren't balanced and you might not even be aware of it. The people around you probably are aware, but you will find this again in adulthood, not just with kids. And the combined type of presentation for ADHD is really a mix of both symptoms of inattention and hyperactivity or impulsivity. But again, this will be a pattern over time, and you would have had this when you were growing up too. And maybe people in school noticed or your teachers noticed, maybe they didn't. I remember, I'm going to make you laugh, but I was in high school. I had a horrendous time paying attention. I was constantly in this trance-like state. And I remember this Latin teacher, I won't name her, just because it doesn't, I think she's still living and I, you know, that's for her to sit with. But I wouldn't recommend this if you're teaching, and I have taught and I wouldn't myself do this to a student, but she would refer to me directly as Spacey Tracy, like she did do that a few times. And I guess to another Latin class when somebody mentioned me or something, like it was just like a strange thing. Of course, one of the other kids told me that she referred to me as a space cadet. Now, it probably was very irritating to her that she was giving her, you know, class presentation, her lectures, and it looked like I wasn't paying attention, and I might not have been. I was probably doing the best I can do. And for whatever reason, I still did extremely well. It's not that, but I could not sustain that kind of laser-like attention. I was very daydreamy. You might find, again, that in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, that you are still having that challenge, and maybe it's getting in the way at work. So a lot of the people with adult ADHD will find, again, that their partners will say that, you know, they're not paying attention, they get distracted, they're disorganized, or they keep putting off stuff. And listen, most people at some point put off doing things. They procrastinate about things that they don't enjoy. This is different, though, than that. And it's different from the kind of passive-aggressive, yeah, I'll do it, knowing that you're not going to do it. And those things can also coexist. But generally, again, poor time management, poor planning, not really being organized. And what you'll find is that if somebody has a lot going on, like there's extra going on at work, or there's extra family stress, or there's something medically going on and they're having trouble sleeping, or whatever, like when the burden on your attention and your emotions and your body, when they're higher, you will find that the ADHD symptoms can look worse, right? So the person who's worked really hard to be able to keep their office organized, you know, before a huge deadline when they've got a whole bunch of projects they're juggling, you might find that there's paper everywhere. Like even if they're organized piles and stacks, or to them they're organized, and to somebody else it won't look that way. The person who forgets to pick up their kid when it's their turn to pick them up from school. I mean, it's not funny, but it happens. And everything, you know, these kind of things don't necessarily mean that somebody has ill intention. It's not that they couldn't, but that's not what we're talking about here. I'll make you laugh again. You know, my husband and I were very open about talking about our own attentional things that, you know, we both come from families with a lot of people with attentional problems. Some of them are aware that they have them, especially the younger people who may actually have a diagnosis. But some of the older people, you know, they might just be like, this is how I am. Or they might externalize the reason every time something like this happens. Well, you know, I only forgot to pick my grandchild up at school because the doorbell rang and, you know, the mail carrier needed me to sign for a package. And you could come up with all these reasons. And it might be hard for them to take in that, oh, this is kind of part of a larger pattern. So if any of that sounds like you, or you're like the person who's the pen tapper or the pen clicker, again, or like you're up and down because you can't sit still. So if it's you, you probably have a sense. If you are older than, say, your 30s, you may never have gotten a diagnosis because people weren't as aware, clinicians weren't as aware. I think fewer kids got referred to resources by their school guidance counselor and so forth. That, you know, the parents were probably less aware, but I think everyone was less aware. So there are things you want to rule out, not only when you're talking about ADHD, but with everything. I actually have to take a quick break, which sometimes I might forget. But now you know why. But I do have to take a quick break. But when I come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about adult ADHD, the things you want to rule out, and a little anecdote, and then what you can do. Because there's a whole lot of things you can do to better organize yourself without having to put pressure on yourself to be perfect. And I'm going to share what I do as a psychologist who has attentional issues. So if that sounds interesting, stay put. I'll be right back.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt-lined drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
All right, welcome back. We're talking about ADHD in adults and what it looks like and what you can do about it. Just not to try to be a different person. It doesn't mean, I just wanted to say, it doesn't mean there's something, quote, wrong with you, but it does mean that you might have challenges in certain areas that not everybody has. And that's okay. You know, we're all different and we just need to learn ways to feel like we can do the things we really need and want to do in daily life. And that's for everything, right? And that's for everybody. So, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, you cannot diagnose ADHD with a brain scan or a blood test or one single questionnaire, or you really do need to see somebody. But even if you haven't gotten a diagnosis, but you realize that you've been consistently struggling with these things in one way or another since, you know, since certainly before the age of 12, that's part of the criteria, there are strategies that you can start adopting right away. You also always want to rule out other health problems, certain types of learning disabilities, sleep issues, anxiety, depression. And by the way, you can have those things and have ADHD. And in fact, if you have ADHD, you might very well also have those other things. And again, we're talking really just not about making you feel bad. It's more just about, you know, what could help you function better. So some things to be aware of is that for all of us, we may have a toolbox that has a range of things in it, including things that might be less great for us. So if we're somebody who feels wound up a lot, we might reach for alcohol or other substances that may or may not ultimately be great for our functioning or for our brain or might cause problems in our relationships. But people who feel really wound up might feel like that's the time when they feel better. They might feel like they're less all over the place. So it's just something to be aware of because you don't want to really add to the challenges that you have. You want to be mindful when you choose to have a cocktail or a glass of wine or whatever. The other thing is the flip side of that is caffeine. Caffeine actually is a pretty useful stimulant, especially for people who do have trouble focusing. I think the thing where it becomes a problem is if you now have crazy insomnia because you have to have so much caffeine during the day to keep focused or to stay awake because of the insomnia. Not everybody clears caffeine in the same way. And if you're somebody who is genetically a slow caffeine metabolizer, what that means is the coffee you had at 3 p.m. might be the thing that keeps you awake at 3 a.m. And you'll know if this is you. You'll know that if you go out to dinner and have a coffee or have soda or an energy drink, you might find that at night, your body and your mind feel just wound up where you cannot turn it off, even if you're exhausted, right? Because the caffeine doesn't really give you more energy. It just makes you you're going to feel less fatigued around the time that you take it and for a little while after. And you might find that it helps you focus. Now, if you've seen a psychiatrist or a psychopharmacologist, and you're working with somebody, you may be put on stimulant medications. They're actually quite safe, especially when you're an adult. I think there's a lot of stigma around taking medication to manage mental health issues. I think you should talk with your provider. That may or may not be a path that you want to pursue. But if you find that you're constantly doing a bunch of other stuff to try to focus, you might actually find that you get a better result from using, a very well-tested medication in the right dose to help you focus on what you need to do and get it done. You might find that you feel less amped up than you do after 5 or 6 cups of coffee, to be honest. But anyway, you will know, too. I just want to just say, like, again, the way ADHD can look when you're an adult, it can be difficult to realize that a bunch of time has passed when you're on your phone. We actually have more things to distract us. I think it's much harder to be a person with adult ADHD now, in a way, because there are all these things to move our attention in a million different places. If you have ADHD, your attention is moving from one thing to another. And in fact, in some situations, that can be very adaptive. But if you're getting a million phone alerts or your friends are texting you in this group chat and it's like ping, 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 that can make it hard to stay on task with anything, honestly, including things like making dinner and not setting it on fire because you got distracted by your phone or distracted by a phone call or somebody rang the doorbell or you're doing 5 things at once, like you're feeding your dog, trying to pay your electric bill and making your own dinner and checking your email and trying to finish up a project at work, you know, from home. But I think you get where I'm going with that. So this is just kind of a funny anecdote. My husband, we are very open with each other and just generally about our own attentional challenges. And again, if we look at both of our family trees, you know, we're certainly not the only ones by any means. But in the morning, I think I've said this on the podcast before, my husband gets up and he likes to do his meditative thing. He makes his coffee and then he does the dishes and he will feed the pets. We have cats and we have one dog now. And so there's a few different water bowls to fill. And we have this spigot that's on the side of the sink that has filtered water. It was here when we moved in. It's great. But he'll turn it on. And like you, if you push it back, it'll stay on. It'll just keep dispensing water. And he'll fill a bowl while he goes to like clear the last night's bowls off of the table or where he's loading the dishwasher or unloading the dishwasher or making his own breakfast or whatever. And then all of a sudden, invariably, there's water not only overflowing the bowl, but all over the counter, all over the floor. And until he hears it or steps in it or finally turns around and looks, the water will just keep going. So it's like the weekly flood. And I've said, maybe you're not a person who should just do that. Maybe you should just fill the bowl and not try and do your 20 other things. And I'm sure that is so irritating to him. And listen, I get it. I mean, by the way, our brains change as we age. As, you know, there's a lot of talk about women in the postmenopausal years and how our brains change. And so even the symptoms of the same issue may change for you over time. And things that you might have juggled well, those five things, you know, 5 years ago might not be something that, you know, maybe you need to cut it down to four or three. Or just, again, stand by the sink and fill the bowl. But that's the kind of stuff I mean. Like, honestly, I will set a timer now if I'm cooking something on the stove and doing anything else, because I know that, again, the mail carrier rings the doorbell, here's a package, and then, you know, my dog Zelda's barking to go out or whatever, and I might lose track of time, and I don't want to burn the thing that I'm trying to prepare for tonight. So this is what I actually do to function better with adult ADHD, and see what you think. Some things may surprise you, some things may not. Number one, I pay attention when I'm feeling the urge to over-caffeinate. And honestly, that's a pretty frequent urge. I'm not somebody who frequently has the urge to dial it down with a cocktail or something. I like having a cocktail once in a while or a glass of wine, but that's, you know, I'm not feeling wound up all the time. I'm not feeling like that's what I need to do. So that's not really as much of a thing for me. But if you're feeling wound up, that might be something else for you to pay attention to. Just pay attention to the things you do to manage your energy levels, your tension levels, and your focus. For me, again, I might have more caffeine than I would have had, honestly, even 10 years ago. So I know that if I'm having a caffeinated beverage and it's after noon, it might keep me up at night. And if I have a bunch of deadlines that day, I might say, okay, I'm still choosing to have this 3 p.m. coffee and I'm going to drink more water and I'm just going to be aware that I might have a harder time sleeping tonight. So it's really paying attention. You still get to make the choice you're going to make. But it's helpful to say, given that what I know what will likely happen if I make this choice right now, number one, is it worth it? And number two, can I find a way to just breathe through it if I don't have the greatest night's sleep because I'm choosing that I have to or want to do this now? So that's tip number one. Pay attention when you're feeling the urge to do something to manage your symptoms that you may not be thrilled about later. But the number two tip is I cut myself a break if I do make that choice, right? I had a deadline that was 3 a.m. Eastern time, and I worked on this project, but I still allowed myself to refine it till 3 a.m. Now, I didn't have to get up early the next day, which is great, but I don't like staying up till 3 a.m. working. If I choose to do that, knowing that it's not the best for my normal rhythms, I cut myself a break, right? And number three is related to that. I remind myself that struggles, right? So from insomnia to forgetting something, or whatever. These things are all human, and I'm human, you're human, and there are also opportunities for learning and then trying a new strategy based on what didn't go well. Saying, okay, I learned from this, I want to try generally not to do that. So that's self-compassion. Number four, I give myself time and permission for task switching. So I know I need to switch tasks a lot. I am not a person who could sit and study for 8 hours. I'm not even a person who could sit and study for 2 hours. And I never have been. And I've just realized that it's better for me to work with the brain that I have and adapt, find ways to adapt. So that might mean writing for 30 or 45 minutes. And then knowing that I am going to get up and I'm going to move. I'm going to get away from my desk. And it might just be to take 5 minutes to throw in a load of laundry or to take Zelda for a walk. And that walk might be 30 minutes or 40 minutes. Or to take a break and put dishes in the dishwasher. So I give myself time to move between different tasks, the ones that require a lot more focus and sitting still, and the ones that permit me to get something else done, but they're very different from the focus, focus, focus type of task. And that actually helps me to be more productive throughout the day. It also helps me to not feel like, you know, it's just physically hard to be sitting for really long periods of time after a certain point in life, right? It's just not that comfortable. Related to that, I'm going to call this number 4B, is know thyself. Because if you know that that's how you work best, and best isn't going to be perfect, but it takes away a lot of the self-criticism, and it takes away feeling bad about why you're not able to do it like so-and-so does. Don't worry about that. Know yourself and do what you know really works for you. So number 5 is create lists in ways. I create lists in ways that I can easily access, and that also helped me to remember. Now, I know that if I'm working from home and I am going to be at my desk for a lot of the day, it actually is better for me to write a note like by hand, old school, and then cross out the stuff that I do as I can check it off. Great. You know, if it's something that's more ongoing, or if I have to run out and make sure I'm going to pick up these 20 things at the supermarket, I'll put that in a list on my phone. But I do find that writing something down by hand makes it easier to remember. And, you know, there are reasons for that, right? Your brain is making a little map of the motions of writing by hand. It's different from just tap, tap, tapping on your computer or on your phone. And again, then I can sit down, I can look over and see it. Okay, oh yeah, I've got to make sure I do this. Let me take a break now versus in 15 minutes and take care of that thing. Or let me move this task to tomorrow or 2 days from now. And that's also legitimate as well. So creating lists that I can easily access, they're in front of me, they can help me remember. By the way, it also gives me a good idea of how I'm doing, or if I need to make an adjustment to what I'm doing, either in terms of the process that I'm using to check these things off or accomplish various tasks that I want to, or is it that maybe it's an unrealistic list, or maybe something else moves higher up on the priority, but it'll give you something to look at to tell you for next time. But crossing things off the list also feels amazing. So number 6, operant conditioning, which is the psychological term for rewarding yourself for doing, I'm going to say, well enough. And you can create a contingency. So, and that just means if I do this, then I get to do that. If I do this thing that I know I need to get done, then I get to do this other thing that I really want to do, but I know I need to kind of put it off a little bit until I check these other things off my list. So I might want to watch a ghost show. Some people who know me know this. Why I have a paranormal podcast, also with my friend Kathy Kelly. I love watching these shows like Paranormal Caught on Camera or whatever. It just, love it, cracks me up. Love looking at the footage. Love hearing people's spooky stories. But I know that if I'm going to do that, I need to get my other stuff done too. It's something to look forward to. It's more incentive for me to say, all right, I'm going to work for 45 minutes on this project so I can take a break And, you know, we actually have a rowing machine in our basement. That's my time when I'm going to go watch those shows. And then I feel like I get something and I'm switching it up. And my brain needs that. Relatedly, I have something to look forward to. So this is kind of 6B. But if I'm making dinner plans with friends on Friday, if I know that earlier in the week, I now can say, all right, what do I need to complete before then to be able to go out to dinner and really enjoy it? So thinking about things in relation to other things, having a larger context, and not everybody's brain is going to do that as naturally. And if yours isn't one where you're able to look at the big picture and then kind of work backwards, if that's not as natural for you, that's okay. Write it down and break it down. And we'll talk about that more in a second. Number 7, start with weekly goals, right? And work backwards. This is what I mean. So how much time will this thing I need to do really take me? And I would base it not on how much time you think it should take, but how much time it has taken. And again, without judgment, I know my style of working. I know how many breaks I need to take. So if I work backwards, including those breaks, including other things that might come up that I might not be anticipating, right? Good, bad, or neutral, doesn't matter. How much time should I really allocate to this thing I need to do, the thing that's higher up on my to-do list, higher up on the priority? So you build it in, you schedule it in, write it down on a paper calendar in front of you if that helps. Sometimes I feel like when people write this stuff down and, you know, when they do it on their phone, for some people that's good. For other people, they just get distracted by other things on their phone or computer. See how you do. Number 8, move your body to dial down the tension and enhance focus. It's also going to help you sleep. Again, if you're somebody who's restless, generally fidgety, or you feel amped up, move your body. You might be somebody who needs to do more vigorous exercise than somebody who doesn't feel amped up, and you might need to do it for a little bit longer time or more consistently. Maybe that's worth, you know, speaking to somebody at your gym, a trainer at your gym, like doing one session just to help you plan out the type of workout that would help you balance your body. You know, maybe it's yoga and maybe it's stretching those muscles. But for you, maybe it's an hour of yoga versus 20 minutes for somebody else. You have to see. But it really also does help you focus. I've said this before, there is some research showing that regular exercise, whether it's weight training or whether it's cardiovascular exercise, helps your brain to form more connections between neurons and makes it easier for you to function and concentrate over time. It also makes you less anxious. Number 9, mindfulness. You know, I say it in almost every episode because it actually helps. It does engage the parts of your brain and it improves the functioning in those parts of your brain that help you focus, that help you pay attention. They keep you calm also and help you avoid catastrophizing because you get that even if something isn't going well or you didn't do well or you forgot something, it's not your whole life. It's a moment. It's a moment on your timeline. It's one thing. And life is about opportunity for repair and doing better. Number 10, remember, you are more than your successes and failures on any given day. You are here to grow. You're here to grow. You're here to learn. And you have inherent worth. I forget what number 11 was going to be. And maybe that's pretty apt because I remembered it thinking, oh, I won't forget this. And then I did. And I didn't write it down. It's the one tip I didn't write down. But I'm going to go back to number 2 and cut myself a break if I forget or if I don't do something perfectly. So I hope this is helpful. Please let me know. And I'm also going to link to the 2 other episodes or one of the other episodes where I interviewed Dr. Ryan Sultan, who is an expert on ADHD. I'm just a psychologist who happens to have it and knows a little bit. Knows a thing or two about a thing or two. But anyway, I want to thank you again for joining me as always. And until next time, of course, be well.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bobapedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bobapedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.